Everyone, we're going to call this meeting to order. Welcome to the Gary Township Board of Supervisors regular meeting scheduled for Tuesday, July 26, 2022. It's approximately 7:10. The board met an executive session at 6:30 p.m. to discuss land and legal issues and personnel matters. So I apologize for our lateness tonight, but there was a lot for us to cover. At this time, since I've called the meeting to order, I'd ask that everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Crisman, would you please conduct the roll call?
Supervisor Zanuda?
Here.
Supervisor Cromato?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
Supervisor Bruno?
Here.
Five present.
All right, very good. Thank you. Since all five are present, we have a quorum. And we will proceed with our meeting. The first item on the agenda is visitor or public comment. So this is the time that I normally remind people that two things. Number one, although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. And then with respect to visitor or public comment, I see we have a participant ready to go. We ask that everybody kind of keep their comments to around 3 minutes. We ask that you identify yourself, first name, last name, and address. Beyond that, it's your opportunity as members of the public to put comments into the record. So, with that, and please make sure that's on.
What do I have?
There's a button on the back you have to hold in.
Have a few comments regarding the water company. I had the pleasure to testify for their rate case hearing last Thursday. I had to listen to approximately an hour's worth of supporters of their rate case. I submitted 6 pages of typewritten testimony plus 10 minutes worth of verbal testimony. Now, I have a serious issue with them. I was employed by them on the other side of the river in a water system that dwarfs this side of the river. And my primary responsibility was water quality. We're having serious issues in our home with our water. And we've repeatedly called the water company, and we have been repeatedly ignored. Now, they switched to chloramines approximately 10 years ago in this water system. And I had the pleasure to be involved with the switch to the side of the river. I responded to numerous complaints from customers who had the same issues that we experienced in our home here in Hershey. Now, they send this brochure out every year when it's time for them to flush the hydrants. And with your water bill, most people don't care to even bother reading this. All they care about is how much the bill is. And what they tell you is that they tell you that they're flushing to maintain the system, which is true because contaminants make it through the filter plant and are subsequently pumped into the water system. And this is part of the reason that they switched to chloramines, was to meet more stringent requirements on disinfection byproducts that the EPA put into place roughly 10 years ago. The only unfortunate thing is when you take chlorine and combine it with ammonia, as that water ages, that decomposes back into free ammonia. And in a water system, you have bacteria that grow that are present always. And what they do is they switch to free chlorine when they flush, and it's called a burn. And it is to remove these bacteria, these organisms from the water system. They don't like to be transparent with the public. They would like to keep people in the dark, and that's exactly why they do the things that they do. So I am speaking right here, right now, to say that 6 pages of testimony is not going to stop at the PUC hearing. It's going to be advanced further up the chain of command to people who are actually responsible for enforcing rules. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else?
My name is John Black, and I live at 649 Linden Road in Hershey. That's on the corner of Linden and Ridge. Every day for the last 3 summers, I've seen a steady caravan of out-of-state license plates coming up Ridge Road, using it as a thoroughfare when it's a street through a residential neighborhood. I think this is wrong. I brought this to the attention of the township a year and a half ago. I had a solution. I stand by that solution. My solution is for traffic coming through Hershey on Ridge Road, Valley Road, Cocoa Avenue, Chocolate Avenue from Palmyra, Chocolate Avenue from Hummelstown. They go under the underpass at the on Ridge Road to the roller coaster, hang a left, go on Park Boulevard, heading north toward the attractions. When they get to the traffic light at Chocolate World Way and Park Boulevard, prohibit left and right turns at that intersection. If they can't get on the parking lots, the whole trip through town was a waste of time. A couple weeks ago, there was a concert here in Hershey. Def Leppard was one of them and a bunch of other guys. And if I heard the local news correctly, Derry Township did prohibit those turns that night, and I saw the difference for myself on Ridge Road. Traffic was minimal. And that was unusual for the night of a concert, especially one with big-name people. It worked. I'm telling you, it worked. I don't understand why that solution can't be applied for every day that the park is opened through the spring, the summer, and the fall. It would take that traffic. Once Waze and the other GPSs find out that you can't get on the parking lots once you get there, they'll start routing people another way. They'll send the traffic from Campbelltown down Governor Road to Hershey Park Drive, which is where they should be coming in, because my understanding was that's why Hershey Park Drive was widened in the first place, to make it a main artery of entrance to the attractions. That was item number one. Number two, Cocoa Avenue headed south. At almost any time of the day, you get to the intersection at Governor Road and you want to make a left turn to go east toward Campbelltown, you can't do it. I've sat through entire light cycles there. Today, it happened. I darted in front of a cement truck today that, after the light turned yellow, so that I could make the turn without having to sit through another light cycle. But I have sat through light cycles. I'm seeing people dart through any gap in the traffic, taking a chance with getting hit, and 2 weeks ago I almost did with a guy that was going to run the yellow light. But if there can be a left turn arrow at Railroad Street and Main Street in Campbelltown at Annie's Ice Cream, why can't there be a left turn arrow at Governor and Cocoa, especially people wanting to go south on Cocoa and make a left turn? Those are my 2 items. I thank you.
Do we
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
John, first of all, anytime you want, you can talk to me about this. Just grab me in the alley. We live right next to each other.
I did a couple of weeks ago. On one of those items.
Which okay. The two issues he's talking about. We've been working with the Hershey entities for 3 years now. We've gotten to the point where what we do... I'm sorry, I'll turn this on. What we do is during concert and heavy traffic days over at the park, we do have what they call a slip lane. That's the left turn off of Hershey Park Boulevard there. And our police department notifies Waze that that's closed. So that's why you've noticed during the Def Leppard concert that there was very little traffic. But I almost guarantee you they're not going to close that lane on a daily basis. That's needed for them to get their traffic flow going. And if I haven't, you're the first person, to be honest with you, that I've heard complain about that, other than no complaints about the concerts. As far as the other issue, what was that? The left turn on the government. We had our police department go out there. They're looking at it. So far, the recommendation was not to put anything in, but we are looking at doing that for the safety and convenience of our citizens. But I don't know when we can get that approved or not. But we are looking at putting a left turn light in there.
Is that a PennDOT approval, or is that a township?
PennDOT essentially said they don't care whether we do it or not.
It didn't meet the thresholds.
Right.
They went out and did the traffic counts. It didn't meet the thresholds.
They left
it amazing. Is it, what Mr. Black is describing is a common experience. They're trying to make a left-hand turn, so I'm surprised it doesn't meet the thresholds. But it wouldn't be the first time I was surprised that PennDOT said something like that.
Well, we've been discussing that left turn for 2 years now. We had a traffic study done. We had an informal study done. And after we went to PennDOT, they said, like Natalie said, they didn't feel that it was necessary. But in the interest of traffic safety, we are working on getting the money to put one in.
Thank you, Mr. Black, for coming forward and making those comments.
Yeah, John, we can talk about this further, please.
Is there anybody else that wishes to speak during public comment?
Real quickly, I think we want to introduce Lou Verdelli for the S&P rating review. Give your microphone. Yes, make sure. Sorry.
Mr. Verdelli, are you going to, would you like to come forward and address the board?
Sure. Just a quick update that is some good news regarding the township's finances and credit rating. About a month ago, Standard & Poor's reached out to Mr. Chrisman and requested to do a credit rating surveillance update. Really, that stems from the fact that back in 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, they had put the township's AA credit rating on a negative outlook, which meant that likely they could lower the township's credit rating. Obviously, when they did that, they were looking at the fact that Hershey Park was closed. That's a big driver of a large portion of your tax revenues. About 15% of the township's revenues come from amusement taxes and parking taxes, so that was a big concern. Obviously, we were in the middle of putting the financing plan together for the community center, so they had put their credit rating on a negative outlook. Fortunately, at that time, they didn't actually change the rating. They kept at the AA level. So they reached out a month ago, set up a call with Mr. Chrisman, and we conducted that call last week. And the good news is that we just found out late yesterday afternoon they've changed the outlook from a negative outlook back to a stable outlook, which basically means they're not anticipating to change the credit rating in the next 2 years. Some of the things that they cited in their report, which actually just came through at about 6 o'clock tonight, so I forwarded that to Mr. Chrisman, and he'll make sure all of you get that now that that was just publicly released. But I'd encourage you to look through it, because they comment on the fact that basically when the pandemic hit, there was quick action by the administration and the board to make some very difficult decisions to control costs, to look at restructuring different areas of the township, and to really start to look at how you could take advantage of some of the programs that were in place. Obviously, in 2020, you took advantage of kind of the first money that came through. It was about $1.6 million, I believe, to replace lost revenues. Then in 2021, you had the ARPA $2+ million come in, plus some of the budgetary constraints that you were doing. So those were all things that we reviewed on the rating call, all positive things that resulted in balanced operations for the township in 2021. So that, coupled with the fact that they continue to believe the tax base is strong. We shared with them, since it was just breaking news last week, the new Hershey factory plans for construction. They basically viewed everything about the economy has recovered. We reported that it's expected here in 2022 that some of those amusement taxes and tourism-related taxes are expected to return to pre-pandemic levels. So they felt that things had really stabilized here in terms of the township's operations. The last, I think you'll see in the last paragraph of that report, they also comment really and compliment the management, the kind of the flexibility, everything that was done in a quick manner to adjust to, obviously, everything that was thrown at you in 2020 and 2021. So it's good news. Like, thank Mr. Christman. He was very well prepared for the call. Went very well. And so you'll see that report. We'll get that to you tomorrow. And it's just good news that we've gone from a negative outlook on the credit rating to a stable outlook.
Thank you. That's good news to have.
Yeah, for sure.
You wouldn't mind if I speak again regarding the traffic that this gentleman was referring to? Just a minute.
Come on up for a minute. Come on. Once you reintroduce yourself, I'll give you one more minute. Or you can wait till the end and take another three. Your trip, your decision.
Mark Offsack, OVSAK, 137 West Government Road, HPA 17033. The thing I'm wondering is, we've had issues for 34 years of traffic on Government Road, and there was a big to-do in the Hummelstown Summit, a nice picture of an intersection there. Supposedly they're going to get six lanes of interstate through there, and it's never going to happen. Why are not those signals, smart signals, as they're installed on West Chocolate Avenue? It would seem to me that it would be beneficial. I mean, Thompson did spend money many years ago on a traffic signal system that apparently didn't work. So I'm just wondering what the issue is. And if anybody is aware, if you get into the intersection when the light turns, you have the right of way. And I'm sure you, Warner, will back me up on that. So that's all I have to say about the traffic.
Yeah. And Dave, don't our signals, that, at least for the fire trucks, for emergencies, can't they be coordinated?
One Chocolate Avenue, I think they're all triggered on Chocolate Avenue.
I remember doing that, but I don't have a good response to the last point. But we appreciate the point nonetheless. Thank you. All right, anybody else? All right, then. So then we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is the consent calendar. And under the consent calendar, there are two items. The first is the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for July 12, 2022 regular meeting. And the second item is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $2,430,015.12 and payroll in the amount of $371,833.24. We can take both of those items under one motion or each separately. It's the pleasure of the board. So I'll look to my colleagues. Is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion to approve the consent calendars, both A and B.
All right, motion to approve both items made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A motion seconded by Mr. Zavuda. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting are approved. That will take us to new business. The first item under new business is the approval of Resolution 2022-15. It's authorizing the sponsorship and submission of requests for funding for the 2022-2023 Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Christman. And Mr. Christman, you may want to sort of right set everybody's expectations for tonight and talk about what we'll be expecting and looking for, and then when we'll turn around with decisions.
Sir, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As everyone's aware, each year we have the opportunity to review projects that will come before, ultimately go before the Dauphin County Commissioners for consideration for funding from the casino grants. As you know, Derry Township's a contiguous municipality in Santa Barbara Township. Therefore, we serve as a potential sponsor for a lot of these projects. So on tonight's agenda, you have a list of about 9 different projects that are under consideration from the township to provide sponsorship for their applications. As we have gone through this process, we did back it up this year. We brought it into July. Normally this was done very late in the season. Applications have to be submitted to the county, I believe, September 1st. This also now gives the opportunity for these same entities, if they can, they can also seek county, direct county sponsorship for certain programs if they want to. But this is your opportunity tonight to hear from them directly about why they're seeking sponsorship from Derry Township. I would recommend to the board tonight that you not take action on Resolution 2215 for the purpose of giving yourselves the opportunity to hear and digest all the information that's going to be before you tonight. When we come back at our next meeting, which most likely going to be August 23rd, August 9th, and you may be canceled due to lack of a quorum, to allow yourselves the opportunity to really understand the projects and determine whether or not sponsorship is warranted, and then ultimately a ranking thereof. So, in no particular order, I'm just going to ask folks to come forward and begin to make their presentations. I think it's helpful if you could limit comments to about 5 minutes or so, just for the board's purposes. The board may have questions at the end of each presentation specific to your project. I'll defer to the chairman on that at that point. And I think we have slide presentations. Everyone was kind enough to submit all of their information timely to us for tonight's meeting. Chuck, if you're good enough to kind of run it for us, that would be great.
I will add that I put the clicker up there so they can run their own slideshows.
Even better.
And I would just encourage folks, you know, we're trying to keep it to around 5 minutes. That we have the benefit of seeing all of your presentations, so it's not new to us what you're presenting. I would just try to hit your high points through it so you stick within the 5 minute. We're not going to yank you off the floor if you go over, but it'll help us keep the meeting moving. And if you stick to 5 minutes, it gives us an opportunity to ask questions too, which you're going to want us to ask questions about your project. And then, you know, so if you figure out the total number of projects, you know, in that 5 minutes to each one, you see, like, we've got our work cut out for us collectively. So we want to get through this tonight. There are a lot of, as always, we get lots of projects. And I think we all feel like we'd like to have the opportunity to ask questions and not feel like we have to do a ranking tonight, like, off the cuff, because everyone here has important projects. So we'd like to be able to consider what we hear. And then at the next meeting, when they give us time, we'll publicly vote on them, and we'll do a ranking, and everybody will get certainly what they need. But it'd be a little more orderly process than just jamming everything into the meeting tonight and quickly trying to figure out a ranking. So that's how we're going to do it. We've all agreed on that. Hopefully that makes sense for all of you, and it takes a little pressure off you, too. Just hit your high points, and then let us have an opportunity to answer questions. So I'm looking around the room at the applicants. I think I know who most of them are. If everybody's okay with that, that's how we'll move forward. Did you have an order that you want to go with, Mr. Chrisman?
I have it just in front of me here. I'm just going to start with the Derry Township Police Department. I think Lieutenant Rush is first. I know he does not have a PowerPoint presentation. So
and a video.
Sorry.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we are seeking sponsorship for acquisition of a interactive gator-like training simulator. And they say a picture speaks 1,000 words. I have a video, so hopefully that multiplies it by 10, and that gets you 10,000 words. It's a 3.5-minute video, so I guess that's going to leave you with 90 seconds. So, Chuck's our director tonight.
This is my low-range gator system overview for the 180-degree and 300-degree models. The theater system provides a fully immersive training environment with enhanced field of view that increases realism. It is interactive from multiple directions, requiring training response tactics to different threats simultaneously. The theater system is operated by a single instructor. It provides the fully interactive, multi-branching video scenarios, graphics-based firearms drill scenarios, and industry-leading features, the Milo Range theater systems come with the desk and chair, two touchscreen monitors, wireless keyboard and mouse, desktop speakers with multi-directional sound system, HD short throw projectors with hit detection, and flashlight camera system, as well as a trainee action capture camera. It all required cabling and mounting equipment. The 180-degree model comes with three projectors and three screens, and the 300-degree model comes with five projectors and five screens. We provide two dry fire laser inserts that go into double action or resetting trigger pistols, or two dry fire pistols from these available models, along with two OC canisters and two flashlights. You will also receive a 4K camera capable of creating your own scenarios in our course designer program. The theater package includes free delivery and installation with two full days of training, a 2-year warranty, free access to the software and scenario library for the life of the system, and free 24/7 tech support. Notable system features include our hit detection device that is capable of tracking multiple laser devices even when utilized by multiple trainees at the same time. The program can be customized to allow the instructor to tailor the scenario for each trainee. The instructor screen and scenario review are available afterwards for full debrief, listing force options for each scenario. The three software applications for the theater system are the use of force de-escalation lesson scenarios, the GraphX scenarios for marksmanship and decision-making, and the firing range application for marksmanship training. Each allows a debrief session afterwards. The theater system comes with the current version of Milo software, running on the latest version of Windows. The software includes a training database management system that allows the trainer to create reports, track statistics, and save scenario sessions for performance review. These reports can be generated and evaluated, allowing scoring categories of either a pass-fail or percentage-based grading scale. There is also a function that allows the trainers to include their own standard operating procedures and training content inside the Milo program. The core value of the Milo system is its continually growing library of over 800 multi-branching live-action lesson scenarios. In these 24 categories, for a full list of optional accessories, training scenarios, or to order your Milo system, contact us at milorange.com.
So this system, I believe this video actually sells the system short a little bit. This company, and we've done a lot of research on this particular company, they actually replicate every tool that we carry in our pistol toss. And I know at first glance it appears that it's a digital shooting gallery or a video game. If you look further into this system, and we've talked to sales, we've talked to technicians, they replicate everything that we carry. So our taser, our OC, our baton, and our firearm. So although if your presentation as a shooting gallery, a video game-like scenario, we have the opportunity all of our officers to have them employ whatever tool they think is most necessary. We have a very prolific training program in our police department. We train quite a bit relative to our counterparts in this area, but it's very difficult. We take our gun out, we shoot at paper. We take our taser out, we shoot at paper. We take our spray out, we shoot, et cetera, et cetera. It's all one-dimensional. This particular system makes that multifaceted. It presents the officers with decision-making skills that we really can't replicate so much on a day-to-day training, conventional training. So that really attracts us, and it's going to make our training exponentially better. The other key point about this, and I mentioned in the video, it comes with 1,000 scenarios, and those scenarios address some of the hottest topics in law enforcement right now that we see in the media every day. De-escalation, implicit bias, active shooter drills, duty to intervene by other officers. Can't replicate that very well on a day-to-day basis on our training programs now. So this really enhances it. But more importantly, this gives us the opportunity. We can go to our most critical venues here in the township, the emergency room, our entertainment complex, our schools, and we can film those areas, bring that back and do our own production. And our officers in our own basement can train those areas. It's simple to say, well, why don't you just go to the school? Why don't you go to the ER? It's easier said than done. It's very resource intensive, man hours, taking officers off the street. So it's very resource intensive. So we feel as though this product, we would be the first in this area to have something like this. And I think it's going to, as I said, exponentially enhance the skill of our officers and our training program here at the township. My initial submission indicated this was a $70,000 acquisition. I finally got the sales quote back from our liaison. It's $57,000. That's relatively expensive for our annual training budget that we operate on based upon it. So that's why we're receiving your sponsorship for this device. Questions?
Questions for Lieutenant Roach?
Yeah, I have a quick question. Would you make this available to the other local constabularies in the area?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you may be aware there's two other security agencies here in our township that are carrying firearms right now. University School and University Medical Center. I've talked to their representatives or security managers, and they've indicated to me they would assist us by way of letters of support, and I indicated to them that it would be a partnership amongst not only the security entities in our township, but our partners here, Humblestown Borough, Palmyra, the agencies that surround us. So it's not something that we'd be selfish with. It's something, obviously, we would want other persons that work with us on a day-to-day basis to experience this type of training.
Would we offer those services free to some of these, aside from the Milton Hershey School?
I'm going to have to defer to my boss. That's something discussable with the chief of police.
Right.
I don't see why we have that partnership that we can establish some type of agreement.
Thank you.
Any other questions? It's fantastic. So I would imagine everybody agrees. So. Thank you very much, Lieutenant.
All right, moving on to our second presenter. I'd like to welcome the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, Ron Sutherland, to make their presentation for the company.
Hi, good evening. Deputy Chief Roger Sondering with the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company. We are here to talk about apparatus replacement. We currently protect Erie Township with 11 different vehicles, and we basically have a 15 to 20 year replacement cycle. So if it seems like we come here every year or 2 years asking for a fire truck, that's because we're trying to spread out that over that period of time, and it just happens that's what we need. We are 100% volunteer. We have 60 volunteers. Last year we ran just under 800 calls as a 100% volunteer fire department. Our average response from the time that somebody, from the 911 call to dispatch, when we're notified through our pagers, we have an average to be at any address in Hershey or with our mutual aid neighbors within 8 minutes or so. The national average, the expectation is 10 minutes. So we think we're doing a very good job with 100% volunteers. There are several vehicles that are currently owned by the township and several that are owned by the fire company. What we're really talking about the township owns two engines, the ladder truck and the rescue truck. And then the fire company owns the other ones outright through donations or grants and those sorts of things. We would ask in the future that the attack truck, which is the big brush truck, that become a township-owned vehicle. It's getting way too expensive for a volunteer company to keep up with that kind of vehicle and keep up on that stuff. The things that we've highlighted are things that hit are being replaced or we're requesting to be replaced. This year, the fire company is replacing the deputy and the duty officer vehicle as well as a pickup truck. And we've gotten several grants for those vehicles to defray those costs. If we were to add up the entire fleet, and if you were to look over a 15 to 20 year period, if we were to take the big picture, $5.5 million. So anything that we can do to create that capital fund and anticipate that sometime within this next 15 to 20 years, we're going to need about $5.5 million. Although I'll show you just in a second, the price of vehicles is growing faster than we are anticipating. So in the last couple of years, we've actually replaced some things. The air truck was replaced. We added a UTV and trailer. with donations and grants and those sort of things. So we're trying to keep up our fleet as well. Engine 481 is the vehicle that we're asking for to replace in this particular cycle. A fire engine is the essential item that a fire department needs. Without fire engines, we can't really function. So this is what you would find in every fire station across the nation, is basically a pumper truck. We replace these every 15 years, although if we were to order today, because of the timeline to receive that vehicle, it's going to be an 18-year-old vehicle. So we're just trying to get ahead of the curve, and unfortunately, we're just not doing that. One of the reasons why we're replacing this, each year we do an annual inspection on that vehicle and try to get it to pump what its rated capacity was. The vehicle's not failing, but it's not performing at 100%. And that is an indication that at some point this vehicle is going to fail. And as the fire department, we can't have vehicles that fail. When we need water, we need water to put out fire. So this is a sample of the vehicle that we're looking at, a 1,500-gallon-a-minute pumper. Carries, very similar to what we have today. It has a 25-month build time. So if I order today, we're not getting this vehicle until the end of 2024. So it's just the reality of supply chain and all of those kinds of things. And the longer we wait, they're telling me that may go into 30 months or 2.5 years, for example. This is a CoStars state purchasing contract, so we have done our due diligence to get this vehicle's price down. If we were to do no money down, this vehicle is $953,000. There's a variety of financing packages and things that we've shown you and ways that we can save money. The payment, if we put, basically we're, part of this request is going to be about put 15% down with gaming money, which would make the payment somewhere around $68,000, $70,000 a year for the next 15 years. It's a 15-year loan. So tonight I have three requests for you. One is I need you to upfront and order the fire engine. And we have done this in the past where we place an order for a fire engine. The financing that we brought to you, I don't know if you can beat that or whatever, but if you get a cash price and somebody else, the price comes down to $912,000. The second request that we have is sponsorship for the gaming grant in the amount of $150,000 for the municipal share. Works out to about 15% of the down payment. We would be able to apply that, and obviously that reduces the monthly payments for the future. And then we will come back in successive years and try to get additional money for this vehicle. Unfortunately, because of the way that this is going to work, the township would have to be up front with the cost. And then the third, that we would request a high priority being public safety and the needs of the community. Thank you very much. Any questions you have?
Rodney, so if you went ahead tomorrow and ordered the equipment, it doesn't show up for, let's say, 2 years, 24 months.
Right.
But if we weren't putting money down, I'm not saying we're not going to, but if we weren't going to put money down, how do we secure the order? I mean, what payments are owed in that 24 months?
The first payment is owed 1 year after we sign the dotted line. So essentially, the way the gaming grant works is you'll make your recommendations, the application will go in, we'll make presentations to the county in November, December. The county commissioner can make a final decision in February. I'll actually get a check around July or so, June, July. So ordering sometime this month, next month, we'll have that money in hand, and the county will direct pay the vendor and send that off, so we won't have to do all this checking.
How Have you had a pre-application meeting at the county, or do you have one scheduled? You have had one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did they tell you that the gaming grant was capped at $150,000?
That is their new. They said that as Gary Township, as a adjacent municipality, that it is possible that we could ask for more, but they're obviously trying to accommodate a lot of applications, and that was their recommendation that it be at that level. And then if you're not a municipality, they're kind of looking at the $75,000 range.
Yeah, and because in the guidelines it didn't cap them, but I was wondering, but it says basically what you said, and I wanted to make sure that's what you were told and not that it was automatically capped.
That is what we were told in the past. In the original gaming grants, we actually got $700,000 for the rescue truck and $600,000 in one time for the engine 48.
So we'll just add,
I'm willing to amend.
Yes, we need to have some further discussion on this item.
Okay.
That's what I need to know, so thank you.
Okay.
Does anybody else have questions?
Will the current truck be sold?
Yes. Unfortunately, the way that the used fire truck market goes, it might bring a premium, and it might bring a couple of dollars. You just have no idea. Because of the current economy, a lot of folks are hanging on to things. So we would, whatever we sell that vehicle, it's your vehicle, the engine that we're replacing, whatever sale price is going to be automatically turned over to the township, whether it's applied to the debt, it would be our recommendation.
Additionally, Mike, we also, the township would want to keep that engine in service for up until we take delivery of the new vehicle.
Yeah.
So, they can't be short an engine.
Right, I realize that.
So, that adds into the...
I don't know if there's assumptions made in the financing that there was going to be some offset. We don't know that until it's sold.
The assumption at this point is it's worth nothing, and then if we get something at the end, then it's all on us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, hi, Rodney. Thank you for the presentation.
Sure.
You're also in need of an attack vehicle, correct?
That's correct.
And
yes.
That you're pushing off because of the limit that you have, and this being a more important vehicle for your...
That's correct. Okay. Yes, we currently need to replace two.
Okay.
But we'll wait another year or two for that one.
Okay. And then I also, the last time we got a chance to talk, I just wanted to draw attention to all of the financial practices that you and your fire department are doing.
Okay.
You mentioned to us that you're not required to do an audit, but you are doing the auditing
annually,
and that's that you're going above and beyond in regards to your financial transparency and all of the things that you need to do. I just wanted to make sure. I know that this
there's actually two different audits. We get audited annually by our own requirements to be audited for the fire company, the money that's donations, and the township monies, and then every 2 or 3 years we're audited by the state for the relief funds.
Okay.
So there are multiple audits that come through.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions for Rodney? All right, thank you very much, Rodney.
Chairman, I'd like to introduce the folks from Cocoa Pass to make their presentation.
Good evening. I'm just going to try really hard on that 5 minutes.
I didn't even start it yet. Yeah, absolutely.
So, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to share about the transformational work that we are doing in the township and throughout the county. As Cocoa Pass.
Can you give me your name?
My name?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Christine Grunzel.
Thank you.
Joyce Atkinson.
Thank you.
That's the first time anyone ever asked me to speak up. Thank you. There was our humble beginnings back in 2015. We started with 92 children off of cafeteria tables and lockers where the food used to fall on our feet, and we would put it back in because we were so happy to help 92 children. COVID unfortunately shut down our operations as the Derry Township School District was closed and forced us outside. The organization has been outside since March of 2020. We have seen the rain, we have seen the ice, we have seen the snow, we have seen the heat, the wind, and you name it. We've been out there because it's important for us to care for the children that are enrolled in our program. Since August of 2020, we have been actively looking for an existing property that we could provide all of our services in. That did not come to fruition, so we have, it would have been more to actually purchase something and retrofit it to all of our services than it would be to actually build. So we made the conscious effort to embark on this project so that all of our services can be in one location where children can be served in all areas and not having to travel to five or six different locations that we're currently operating out of. There's one location for our clothing, there's one for the drive-thru, there's another one for our Pickleback presence, there's another one for our educational offerings that we provide for children. Our presence, we take over the entire church, specialized shopping experience for the children that we serve. The parents walk in there, it is amazing to see their faces with the toys and the generosity of our community. Our food rescue program has taken off exponentially, and we are super proud of this. If anybody could see our refrigerated truck every Wednesday and the food that would have otherwise been thrown in the garbage, it is miraculous that we get to get that food into the hands of children. Healthy, amazing food options that they would never be able to buy, that our community it has worked together to make sure that we pick up that food. There's over 80 volunteers. We are the lead chair for Trader Joe's, which is really kind of unheard of. Cocoa Packs is the number only organization in all of Pennsylvania to partner with Food Rescue USA. They actively advocate for us when new businesses come into the community. So we rescue from Trader Joe's four times a week. We get the most beautiful flowers and lift people's spirits. Every one of the Rozier Entertainment and Resorts properties, 8 different Starbucks, Panera, 3 different Sheets. What that does is that helps us be cost effective with our packs, and we can take out an entree or another item that costs us. So Chef Boyardee used to be $1.07, now it's $1.32 times 1,300 children. We pull those out, replace it with that fresh, healthy food, exposing kids to things that they may have never tasted. So we're super proud of that. That's just kind of our challenges. So storage limitations, the weather is a limitation. My heart aches for our handicapped friends. We have 8 different handicapped groups that come to us, and we do not have a space that is accessible for them. That little boy has to go all the way around the middle school because our space is steps, and he loses 15 minutes of service while his other friends are serving our organization. He has to wait to get over there so his aide can get through the doors that are accessible. A couple weeks ago, our 1016 space, I had an elderly gentleman who was in a wheelchair, special needs, had a walker, was trying to get to our bathroom. I'm trying to hold open that one door, push the breezeway door open to get him through, and it's just unacceptable to not be able to have handicap accessibility. So storage limitations, weather. Another huge thing that we do that is incredible is our volunteer service to the organization. Thousands of volunteers, hundreds of volunteer groups. The first time this week I had to say no to a group that wanted to send 80. They wanted to send 80 volunteers to our space In a new space, we would be able to do that. In this space, our limit has been capped at 60. We just took 40 volunteers from the Department of Corrections, but that means that I have to go from 10-16 for those that group down to the middle school for the food rescue group so they can work in that space, over to the church so they can work in that space so that they're in all areas. We've had the Hershey Company for the giving back in July, same thing. Here's this location, then this location, then this location that we're assigning people to. So I think that was my grant. Thank you. The vision for the next chapter of Cocoa Packs is a space where we can ensure that all children we assist have what they need to succeed. That looks different for every child. Every single child, that looks different for. Last week, we had two twin boys, 8 years old, get out of their cars, who we assisted, and they volunteered with us. For 2.5 hours, they were 8 years old, and they didn't just want to take something that we were giving them. They wanted to give back to the organization. The thing that's really cool about what we're doing is that those that we assist are proud to be part of what we're doing. Those that we assist look at us as stores. The children come through the line and the drive-thru. It's really hard out there. Cars line up at 9 in the morning for a 10 o'clock open, and the line goes all the way around Spring Creek's parking lot and farther around and around, and sometimes they're waiting for an hour to get our services, and then the gas prices, and my heart breaks that they have to use their gas to get our services. That wouldn't happen in this new facility. They would be able to experience everything in one place. So I could talk about this forever. I just would love to talk to you more about it. If anybody wants to talk to me personally about it, I'd love to set up a meeting to be able to share more about the work that we're doing in this township, that we, the people. And what is the most important is it's not I, it's not me, it's we, the people. And when we put our minds together to do something, people keep telling me, like, could you ever have imagined? Not really, but we accomplished that. So where we are today with Cocoa Packs is because we, the people, care about the children that we are assisting and having them have a brighter tomorrow. I'm going to share one more quick story when I promise somebody get down. Because I want you to feel the impact. This is personal to me. I see it every single week. I see what can happen when we lead with love and purpose for one another. So I had a girl. She had 60 hours of community service, and nobody was telling her nothing. She came in there with a chip on her shoulder, and she was just there because she was told to be there. The judges are actually referring people to us now, which is wild. I watched her transformation. I watched her become a shift supervisor. Then I watched her get her mom a job in the cafeteria. I watched her brother serve. I got a call from the county clerk because they didn't believe the letter that I had written about this young lady and what she accomplished during that 60 hours of service. 4 weeks ago, she was in our line, and I thought, oh no. She said, can I just talk to you for 1 minute? I said, sure. She said, I want to tell you something. I've got a good job. I have my own apartment, and I am good. And that's because of Cocoa Packs. Thank you.
If you guys just stay, because we're probably we have some questions. So the request is, your request is for how much money over how much period of time?
$1 million over 4 years.
Okay. And we talked a little bit about this last year, so we're just all going to ask questions now. Right. Tell me about who you serve. lines. I remember when you were operating, when I saw the pictures, it brought back memories of operating out of a locker, right? And it was really at the school. You guys have grown, right? You're serving lots more people. But tell us about that. Who are you serving? Where are the children or the people? I don't know if it's...
So currently, Cocoa Pax has children enrolled from 18 different school districts in 4 different counties with the primary enrollment in their attention.
Do you know approximately how many children? You're serving only children, right?
That is what makes us different, is that we do only serve children, and we do refer. Last week, I was over with Odette. I brought her like 10 cases of tomatoes, and we refer to our local food banks as well.
Okay.
We do children, and we thought it was about the food, but it isn't. It's about the emotional and physical support that we can provide. Food is the segue. You must need the food for your children. That's the number one. So we have a process, an enrollment process. You go to inactive. If you stay on inactive, then you go to unenrolled so that we can continue to make sure that we're serving the children that need the food that we're providing. If you're active in that food assistance, then you get an invitation to our clothing closet. You get an invitation to one of our special events. You get an invitation to Cocoa Pax Presents. You get a new coat. So the extension services are more towards that emotional wellness.
Enough information to identify where the children are coming from, like municipalities.
Yes.
And so I'm looking for sort of a breakdown, maybe percentage-wise, Derry Township children versus, let's say, non-Derry Township children, to make it easy. Is there some kind of a breakdown generally that
60-40, 50-50?
62.5% Derry Township. Okay, that's helpful for context.
And some of that, happened organically. Because of our food rescue partnership, we got the USDA food box contract from that partnership. So when we gave out the boxes during the start of the pandemic, cars would be coming through. We wanted it for our kiddos, but there were too many boxes, so we opened it up to a public day. So for 6 months, we distributed boxes to our kiddos on one day and the general public on another day. We still have some of our elderly folks that come through.
I don't want to hog all the questions, so Natalie.
I've got a couple questions. Thank you for the presentation and coming in to talk to us. My first question is the $250,000 for 4 years. Is there a specific project that is hoping to fund?
Yes, so we are actively pursuing a built-in project where all of those services are in one area. Everything that we provide would be in one location. We would not be outside of it.
So any funds that you get going forward would go to your capital campaign? Okay.
Correct.
Now, last year, I think that you were fortunate enough that you got some of this gaming money.
We did. We applied for $75,000 for our PACs, and we received $50,000.
Okay. And was that specifically for replenishing your food supplies? Or?
So that was basically for food for the children with the increase of the enrollment.
And looking at your presentation, it looks like you guys are growing. It looks like that's a good thing. It looks like maybe not a good thing that you're bringing in more people, but you're able to help more people. So have you thought about partnering with, since it looks like you're expanding, have you thought about partnering with the other local organizations like, for instance, the Falcon Packs, or those types of organizations where it could be on it. Well, I know that from our point of view, I mean, we've looked a lot at how we can consolidate services to save our taxpayers' funds, and looking at what you've shown us, it looks like there could be some ways that this could be a county project.
And that is really along the lines that what we are hoping. And I'm not going to apologize. What we do well. So we are having those conversations. We are actually merging. We are merging with the Falcon Packs because of the proximity of where our location is. We're actually helping more children through our drive-through So we are merging with them and having conversations with other, so that we can kind of take that synergy, and then all of the children would be getting, be able to be getting those services. So then we're talking with the Harrisburg superintendent is coming down this week, so we're talking to all these other programs just to see, because we are helping a lot of kids, and you know, all the way around, it would be very good for the county.
So you're looking at kind of merging these organizations together under one umbrella to kind of save some money.
Having that conversation, it does, as you guys know, always comes down to dollars and cents. And we need to be able to operationally function, but that also gives us the opportunity to have partner school agreements where the oneness of the cost is not all on Cocoa Packs itself.
My last question before, I'm sure there's other board members that have questions too, but there is obviously a lot of money that's running through your organization. Are you making sure that you're doing your 990s? Are you doing your audits through the Bureau of Charitable Organizations, or all those paperworks?
Correct.
They're all being filed, and you have a financial audit?
We're
working with Smokers Network, and they're handling all the finances.
Okay, so they're doing auditing.
Right, and what's happening is, I think right now it's coming, you know, as we are growing,
right,
we have to look at things, if they're getting bigger, we have to start doing more things. Now, the auditing part, I don't really know that part. I'm the secretary of the board. So, but I'm here to support her. I've seen it change and grow, and so it's growing and changing, and all of that is just starting to open. It's becoming bigger where it all has to start happening now.
So you're checking all of the legal and
right,
financial other, access?
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? I asked Deputy Chief Sonderman this, but have you had a pre-application meeting at the county?
So that is actually tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Obviously, the work that the Cocoa Packs has been doing is laudable. It's been great work for many years. I, just as one member, would suggest that during your conversation with the county tomorrow, you talk about, you know, this project seems so much bigger now than Derry Township, and all the applicants, just as you as in prior years as an applicant from Derry Township, were seeking funds from whatever the Derry Township pool is. I don't even know what amount of money that is. But everybody in the room is competing for those dollars. Your mission has expanded, and it seems so well suited to be a county-sponsored project. And the dollars seem to make sense at the level that this needs to be funded. It seems like it should be a county project. And I'm just suggesting at least raise the issue with them about perhaps this is one of the few projects that county sponsors and does something a little more, in a more cohesive manner across the county to address the issues you're dealing with.
Okay.
But
I'm
just saying
that. No, I do.
Because this is growing now, and it's getting to the point where we don't want to say no to your application or no to your request, but your request is extraordinarily, in terms of the dollars we have in front of us, and none of us know what that pool is. We don't know what amount of money is in the pool allotted to the Derry Township applicants, but your request would take up a significant portion of that. So, but it just, and that might be fine, but it seems like it's so well suited for the county to jump in and say, you know, we want to sponsor this. So you might want to raise that tomorrow and see. It would be interesting if you can get us feedback too, if you raise that issue with them and see what they say.
It is my solemn prayer that it's mission focused, and I know that the money is. But I can't put a price tag on those children. I can't put a dollar amount on that, so I appreciate your feedback in that direction, because I see it. I'm a visionary. I see it. I see kids being able to run around in that space and be children and not have to be sleeping in hotels and not getting the beds and not being in a safe environment where they can succeed. And, you know, our model, they've asked us from Maryland, from New Jersey, you know, how do you do it? Because it's working, because people are understanding. It's not just throwing stuff at people and going, good luck. We intentionally invest on purpose. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next presenter will be representatives from the Vista School.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Mike Charman. I think I know a goodly number of you, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because you've probably heard about Vista in the past. A reminder that we've been a homegrown Derry Township organization since we started here in a one-room schoolhouse with four kids over 20 years ago. This was a parent-initiated and parent-driven, and it's still a parent-run organization. We have a community board made up entirely of parents and individuals with autism. So we've grown substantially over the years. We now serve over 300 individuals with autism in all ranges of life, so it's not just the Vista School anymore. It's we have a pre-K program in Swatara Township. We have an adult center over 24 Northeast Drive behind the outlet mall. And, of course, our big program is still right up the road here, 85 students at the former Springboard Milton Hershey School site, which we are on a long-term lease with them. So we employ over 300 people, 250 of them here in Derry Township, so one of the bigger employers as well. The ask tonight is for I'm going to slip right over to the final slide. The ask is for assistance. We fundraised about 20% of what we need, but we need the rest of the money to upgrade our aging security infrastructure at the Springboard site. The Springboard is still a pretty new site, but it's the safety infrastructure is aging, and the AED units are no longer being serviced by the company that made them. They don't even make children's size paddles anymore for the AED units, so we've got to replace them. And then we have a number of outside doors. While the entire campus was built, it was built at Milton Hershey School, so it was built to exquisite standards back in the day. The outside doors, again, while ADA compliant, are not up to snuff for the needs of our kids. We have, as you all probably know, we serve the most disabled autistic people, so individuals with severe speech limitations, severe social limitations, a lot of them with intellectual disability, some with Down syndrome, and a number of them with other physical impairment. So the ask, I think, is for the 31.5, because I think we've already raised the 12.92. Are there questions about who we are, what we do?
So your request, Mike, will be just, it would be the 31.5?
The 31.5, yeah. We always try to fundraise before we ask for money, so we've got a big chunk of this already financed. All of our operating revenue goes to service. We spend about our service fees cover about 80% of our payroll. 80% of our service fees go right to payroll. So we don't have a lot of money left over for capital expenditures. Looked at our first 5 years ago, I did a review of our first 15 years worth of operations, and our cumulative revenue exceeded our cumulative operating expenses by something like $5,000 over 15 years. It's money in and money out. And replacing stuff at a platinum plated place like Springport is expensive stuff.
Well, the mission, again, great mission, laudable mission. So, does anybody have questions for Mike on the request?
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Next project up for consideration is the Downtown Hershey Association.
Hi, Mr. Chairman and member of the board. My name is Melissa Miller. I'm the executive director of Downtown Hershey Association. I actually haven't used one of these at Rotary, but they just clicked to the right page. I've met some of you. I'm excited to be here because, as you know, no one has been in my position for about 3 years, and then we had the pandemic as well. So this year is really a regrouping year. We are coming back very strong. I hit the ground running, and I built some really great teams to maximize all of our events, and really try to get not only back to the pre-pandemic levels, but beyond that for those events. The market director just called me today and said that we have to go into the grass for a lot of our vendors this weekend because we're so full at the market, and we're well beyond what we were in 2019 in our profits. So we might even not double 2019, but we're really close. So DHA, our goal is really to enhance the beauty of the downtown, attract new businesses and residents, improve the quality of life for everyone, including visitors, with a walkable, bikeable, safe, and welcoming downtown that respects Hershey heritage. That said, since I started, a lot of people have been asking for more live music. And we really wanted to listen to this. We added a concert in September, which we don't usually do. And then that we've had the community neighbors that had did Jabapalooza. We added acoustic music with just kind of collaborating with some of the local businesses right in the Hershey Town Square to cross-promote and bring that. So our project, we're requesting sponsorship for. This picture here actually is from this year, and this mimics just the same picture from 2019. I heard that there were about 1,000 people in the park. I'm not sure about that. But we know that people want experiences, and we really want to upgrade some of the equipment for our Music on Chocolate series, which is every second Saturday. As I mentioned, it goes from June to September. And then we also have our Choctoberfest, which is our music festival in October. And that is the culmination of our music series with three large bands throughout the day. This picture here shows also families, kids, dancing. We had a lot of people that were tourists, actually, at the last two music concerts, and the attendance and the caliber of bands that we have. I built a really great music committee this year that has booked some really, really bigger bands than we've had in the past. So the reason why I'm here is because our upgrades for the concert are essential to meeting not only incoming and future acts, promotions, sponsorships of our events, and other opportunities for these. We are also obviously a nonprofit organization, so all of our money comes from donors and sponsors and event income, but this event is the only one that doesn't provide income. We actually use our funds for this. So the first band from Baltimore that we had put on a really great show. Like I said, we had tourists after dinner. People are coming over after dinner. We're encouraging everyone to dine downtown and to take food to go over to the park, and the businesses are working with us as well to encourage people to go to the concert after they dine with them. And the music upgrades here, just to go through really quick, we're asking for $6,000 for these equipment. We have David Turby. He is the sound tech at the Englewood, who is our sponsor for music. He put together an extensive list of things that we could really use in addition to what we already own. The input digital mixer, it currently is mixing the console. It provides a max of 12 inputs and 2 outputs. This new one actually provides 24 inputs and 8 outputs. So this is actually really essential to a band that's actually coming in August. But Blitz Dinette is our closing act for Choctoberfest. If you know them, they played locally. They have about eight people. They require 6 outputs. So to be, you know, able to sustain these caliber of the bands that we're bringing in, you know, we obviously, that's a really good example. The current cables, we have short supply. They're in bad shape. They're not in the best quality to begin with right now, and they can lead to major issues during our shows. Last thing we need is for an instrument or a mic to go out, you know, mid-song. And then we need longer cables also to reach across the stage. The speakers right now, current stage monitors are not powered, and they take away from the overall output power of the main speakers that are facing the audience. We need a minimum of 4 stage wedges for the acts coming in throughout the summer and beyond. And these speakers have plenty of power, so each musician will be able to hear themselves loud and clear. Also, the tripods, we need the smaller stands for drums and guitar amps. We currently have none. And also with the Wi-Fi antenna is needed to extend the range of communication from our mixer so that the sound tech can mix in the back of the listening area instead of only from the front of the stage. The iPad is used to allow more control over the sound, and we added AppleCare for that as well. I have the breakdown also of all these costs. The current speaker stands are actually falling apart. They're not sturdy enough for continued use. The rack bag, it is to protect the stage box from dust and weather. And we also have 2 suitcases that we currently use that we have cables wrapped up in for storage. So we're looking for a 20-gallon footlocker with wheels. It makes it easier to move them up from the storage in the firehouse. And a 70-foot retractable unit to keep the cords. We have about 5 different extension cords that are, you know, just need rolled up. So this is really necessary to provide the best experience and represent downtown Hershey. Secondly, our tent investment. We are super thankful also to the township and Rick. I know he was a big part of getting the new patio finish that we're going to be using as our stage. So this is a larger area that we can use, bigger than the stage that we currently have, but we are going to be moving the tent, which sits on Cocoa Avenue, kind of facing with its back. Now the stage will be over the patio area, and the back will be to the firehouse. So we're really looking for something that is similar to what we have, but it needs to be larger because the current stage was and tent was a 15 by 30, and now we're going to need a 15 by 40-foot tent that will go wider on the stage that we are using. It also will span out almost like a semicircle. It'll provide a lot more distance and space for people to be able to see the band, hear the band, versus it being just long in the park coming out from Coco. So this here, we're looking to also not have a back on it, so we'll save a little bit of money on the back flap so that we can see the fire hall. We know it's very important that we can still see the building through that tent. So this currently costs for us for the 15 by 40 foot that we are renting is $8,222.72. The purchase of a tent, we are working with the tent company that we've always used for renting. We can purchase it through them. They will install it and remove it, and that is included in this price. We just need to add storage onto that, which I estimated for a storage space because they can't do that. But ultimately, a one-time cost would be $14,960, I think, plus the storage on top of that. And essentially, even if we're looking at 2 years, we would have been at the same price after owning it for 2 years. Then renting, it would be paid off. So we'd save $8,000, over $8,000 a year after that to continue to use our funds for efforts to bring more people downtown Hershey and provide a greater experience for them. The other thing that's important, too, is as I mentioned, Englewood has is our sponsor for our music, but they obviously are in Derry Township, and we do want to encourage live music everywhere in the township, but we are competing also. There's a lot of new concerts, Harrisburg University, Club XL, the Riverfront downtown. So if we can do something that will, accentuate the concerts that we're providing in conjunction with the Englewood and other places in Derry Township, we can keep a lot of people here for shows and providing experiences for them here than them going outside to other places. So that is it. Thank you very much. Questions?
Thank you, Melissa. The questions for Melissa on her presentation or on her request?
Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Our next presentation this evening is from the Hershey History Center.
Thank you. I heard the shorter the presentation, the higher the rankings. This is going to be quick.
Did you figure that out? That's not true. By the way, that's not true.
My name is Lou Verdelli. I'm currently serving as the president and board of directors of the Hershey History Center. And just some quick background, that we were founded in 1991 as an all-volunteer nonprofit historical society. And we've kind of grown into a dynamic history center there on 40 Northeast Drive. And our main mission is to promote and preserve the rich heritage that we have here in Hershey and in Derry Township. And we really focus on trying to do that not only for the locals, but all the visitors that we have. And we do that through a series of events. They're listed here. These happen throughout the year. And again, they're targeted to both our local residents and to visitors. Some of the highlights are certainly in the spring. We kick off the year with the Art Fest. We typically draw about 5,000 people to the area. It's a recognized art show. We have our annual holiday train event that draws about 3,000 guests throughout the holiday season over to our building. We do our preservation gala and tour, usually a couple hundred people. Obviously, one of the things we highlight there is encouraging preservation of our buildings here in Hershey, both residences and other commercial structures. The museum, we get about 1,500 guests every year. A lot of people come to see the Dick Winters collection that we have, so we have many out-of-state visitors coming to see things at the museum. And then something that we kicked off last year is the Friday night, the first Fridays in the summer, our Jazz at the Barnyard. A couple weeks ago, we easily had over 100 people there for the live jazz. This coming Friday, we have the next one for August, and that's going to be the Wave Quartet. So it's mostly local musicians that we focus on. One of the things that's really driving why we're here for our request, which is mostly infrastructure related to our building, is a couple years ago we made a major investment in our barnyard property to create an outdoor space. And just this year alone, we're going to have over 2,000 people in our rentals, where people are renting this space for weddings, class reunions, corporate retreats, birthday parties, baby showers. And so with the amount of people that we have coming in and out of the building, we need to upgrade up some of our infrastructure, like security systems and phone systems. So the main request that we have for you is the funds will be used for mostly implementing energy savings to lower our utility costs. Everybody knows how utility costs are spiking. You'll see in a second, given that our structure is the historic Pinehurst Barn, which some people may not know is an original Milton Hershey School barn. It was built in the mid-1800s, burned down in the early 1900s, and was rebuilt in 1916. So we're dealing with some old infrastructure that we're trying to kind of have modern things going on in. Specifically, the projects that we're going to do are addressing attic insulation, exterior enhancements, where we're losing energy through windows, gaps in the barn itself, and then the upgrades to our security, alarm, phone system. We acquired this building in 2002, and everything that we have, the security system, can't be replaced anymore. Parts are broken. We have no security cameras, and now with all the events that we have going on, we need to have some of those things. This is a picture I took with the insulation estimator the other day when we got up into the attic. You can see it is barn structure. It looks just like, obviously, the inside of Englewood, if you've seen that. And our problem is we don't have good insulation up there, and we're spending lots and lots of money trying to protect all of our artifacts and keep the museum at the proper temperatures, and we're losing a lot of utilities. So our request to you is a total of $50,000, broken down by attic insulation, the exterior ceiling, about $30,000, the security camera system, $10,000, and the telephone system, $10,000. We have also restarted a capital campaign to help offset these costs, because we're hearing that these numbers will probably be higher by the time we'd actually implement some of these things, but our request is going to be $50,000, and we do have our pre-app meeting scheduled for Thursday afternoon. Any questions?
Questions for Mr. Verdelli? Very good. Thank you, sir.
All right. Our next presentation will be from the representatives for Hidden Still.
Jack Roggenbush with Hidden Still. Though we're not part of the health, safety, and welfare of that township, we are part of the entertainment and resort aspect of the town. I sure hope you do support the other applicants that are here. So this really isn't a good PowerPoint per se, just a PDF of the application that we sent into the county. But I'll jump to some pictures of things that we're working on. So the distillery opened in 2020. It moved here from Lebanon. The restaurant opened earlier this year here in 2022. Later this year, we're going to embark on a few more projects. One is a cigar bar, which will be in the old structure on the right there. Our intent is to retain as much of the structure as we can, so we'll be able to retain the brick facade, some of the interior exposed steel, and another, I have some other photos here. Just at the bottom there, this one. The other way, Chuck. Right there. That's the inside, a rendering of the inside of the cigar bar that will be part of both floors of that building. We're also going to do some improvements to an adjacent building for our offices and for some warehouse and storage areas. Scroll down, Chuck. There's a shot of the restaurant. I imagine a lot of folks have already been in there. It was a fairly large investment to those buildings. At this point, we have about 80 people employed through the distillery operations, the restaurant, our sales team, and the corporate makeup of Hidden Still Spirits. Hidden Still Spirits is part of a growing industry across the United States. Microbrews, wineries, distilleries are hot places to go. Roughly half of our customers are local. The other half are folks that are coming in from outside. Now, for our upcoming projects that we're going to start in just a few months, we're looking at about $1.2 million in investment for those projects. We have several million invested already on the property, but we'll continue that level of investment with some future projects that are still pending. We're getting a new still for next year, and that'll be over $1 million investment there as well. And with each one of these, we are creating... there's a formula to identify the exact number of construction jobs, but we're about 50 jobs that we had, and we will have about 50 more over the next 12 months. And that's in addition to our regular employees at the distillery and at the restaurant. So our request is for support $75,000. We were fortunate enough to get one last year through the county, though I missed it in the township's timeline to get your sponsorship last year, but they did support us. Early indications are that they expect to support us again, but you never know until we get to that point in time. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, questions for Jack? I think your application was pretty thorough. I read through it and appreciate the detail that you put in there. So thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Presentation will be from Linlow Properties.
Good evening, James Casey with Lindlow Properties. It's currently, it was a year ago we were here. All of you, or most of you, are here. So I'm not going to bore you with the details of Governor Crossing. You guys are all very familiar with the project. I can give you some updates. Just, I guess, for the record, Governor Crossing's development at the corner of Governor Road and Fishburne Roads. And it includes a Sheetz, a Kitty Academy, which is a new development that was not here last year. Simply Greet, which is a local restaurant, has also committed to the project. So that's a new addition to the project from last year. And, of course, Dialysis Care Center, who was involved in the project last year. So we are coming before you to request $125,000 in assistance. This is for phase one of the project, which involves the traffic component, the widening of Fishburne Road, the relocation of Sand Hill Road, as well as signalization there. These traffic improvements not only obviously assist with the additional traffic that would be coming from this development, but they actually assist with the existing traffic. Traffic impact studies that are currently out indicate that traffic will be lessened, even though in theory we would be increasing traffic because of the development. These improvements actually lessen the overall impact on traffic there. So here's just, again, the project location. Again, all of you are familiar with it. I'm not going to bore you with the details. The economic impact of such a great development is pretty evident as well. Private investment is in excess of $24 to $25 million. The beauty is, for this traffic component, as you know, the township was able to secure $1 million in multimodal funding. We at Lindlow Properties were able to secure an additional $750,000 in multimodal funding to help with this traffic component. Right now, estimates are putting just the traffic component alone at just under $3 million. So it's going to cost approximately $2.9 million to widen Fishburne Road, to relocate Sand Hill Road, to have the signalization there, as well as all the other traffic improvements associated with Governor Crossing. So that leaves a shortfall of $1.2 million. We anticipate final improvement from PennDOT to be pending, and we anticipate construction to begin probably Q1 of 2023. So this January, February is the timeline we have. As everyone here is probably pretty aware, construction costs have kind of skyrocketed since the initial project. We actually anticipate between now and January an approximate 10% increase in material costs and labor costs, which means the final tally for the traffic improvements in phase one, we're anticipating them to be closer to $3.2 to $3.3 million, which is why we're asking for additional assistance. Obviously, any assistance that we don't have, we have to make up the shortfall ourselves in the traffic improvements. Again, just some benefits to the community. I know the community members are all aware of this. As the mixed use portion, we're going to have some address some of the housing shortages that can be found in Berry Township, with apartments, high-end apartments, on the second and third floors of the mixed-use building. Thanks for your time and consideration. I want to keep it as short as possible, and if anybody have any questions.
Does anybody have any questions? I would just state that, you know, I think we did this last year, too, but because your project still hasn't been approved by the board, the actual project, right, has to still come before us, so we would have to condition
yes,
sponsorship on your satisfactory approval of more of the project, right?
Yep.
Just so
that being said, to address that question, we actually next month come before the board for our master plan submission approval.
Okay.
And we have been in contact with the board and have been working with the township to make sure that master plan does address all of the concerns and needs that the township has. So we anticipate that relationship will continue forward. But yes, it is predicated upon approval.
I didn't want you to be surprised by it, but yeah, that's why I mentioned it. You know, it's, if there are no questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, our last presentation this evening is from Mary Driscoll. She's not here tonight, but did send a video for us this evening. It's for Mary's training center.
Hi, Berry Township Supervisors. My name is Mary Driscoll, and I'm the owner of Mary's Health and Fitness on Hockersville Road in Hershey. I want to thank you for this opportunity to discuss with you the application. application for the local share grant for Dauphin County. I am asking for you to be a co-sponsor for this grant. I wish I could be there in person. I'm currently at the Idea Fit World Convention in Las Vegas. This is one of the largest fitness conventions in the world, and I'm happy to stay current in my industry. I presented you this information on Mary's Training Center about a month ago during our conditional hearing. As you might remember, the facility is built on Bullfrog Valley Road at the current site where Ziegler Auction Center is. I am going to share my screen here so that you can see my presentation. So the training center, as you can see, Roush Road, Sand Hill Road are on the one side and Bullfrog on the other. The main focus for the training center is to target youth. The four areas we're really looking to target would be the childhood obesity, mental health, injury prevention, and post-injury return to play. The grant that I'm asking for, I'll speak on, but I just wanted to give you a little basis to bring you back up to speed on the actual facility itself so you can understand why I'm asking for the grant funds. Childhood obesity currently is over 16% in our area with our youth. We are going to team up with the Joy of Sports Foundation to offer free and low-cost after-school activities. Mental health is another area we would love to focus on. 35% of elite athletes are suffering from mental health. That can manifest in distress, eating disorders, burnout, depression, and anxiety. We will have sports psychologists on staff to meet with our athletes. Obviously, exercise has been shown to help teens significantly improve depression, anxiety, as well as relieve their stress. Another area is the ACL prevention and post-injury. So the ACL prevention, we are looking to help kids to prevent them from any type of knee injury, but specifically the ACL, 60% of high school injuries are knee injuries. Unfortunately, 160 knee surgeries or ACL surgeries were done at Hershey Hospital this past year. So with our ACL prevention course called Sports Metrics, this will, when you finish our course, this will prevent you from getting a tear, up to 40% chance of reducing that tear rate. It also increases speed, acceleration, strength, and endurance. We've partnered now with two physical therapy places. One will be the Hershey Medical Center, and the other is Dreher. We're working closely with both of them for our transition program, so post-injury, post-operation. We are working with those physical therapists to take them from their physical therapy right into strength training and getting them stronger to return to play. This is a mock-up of what the strength and conditioning room will be in the new facility. This is indoor turf part of the facility. And then I'd like to touch on the recovery room. This is going to include physical therapy tables so that physical therapists can come to evaluate clients. We're going to have our hyperice recovery equipment, which includes the massage guns, compression pants, rollers. Then the one major piece that we're going to discuss is the HydroWorks 350 treadmill. This is what I'm requesting funds for. From my personal experience, I had a major injury 2 years ago. In 2020, I was water skiing, and I had a full post-ischial tear, which means the entire hamstring ripped off my leg. My hamstring had to be screwed back onto my body, which was extremely unpleasant. It was a very long and difficult nine-month recovery. I can fully relate with the clients that we are getting, post-op clients, even post-injury. There is nothing to do between your physical therapy and returning back to normal life or returning back to a field. I felt very privileged because I have connections that I got to get into an HydroWorks underwater treadmill. It completely changed my recovery. I learned to walk again in there. It gave me mental health advantages when you're used to working out many days a week and then you go from nothing and laying, you know, completely sedentary for months at a time. I was able to get in there and it completely changed my recovery. I'm very lucky to have that opportunity. So what I love to do in the Mary's Training Center is to have the HydroWorks 350. This is a nicer and better the one that I was, the older model was 2 years ago, so this is obviously a nicer model. The difference with this model as well is it can go up to a higher speed of a 10. So you can see I'm going to be able to provide this for all ages. This is great for arthritis. This is great when you have tendonitis. You just don't have, if you can't pound on your body, this is an awesome workout that you can get in there and still get a cardiovascular workout. On top of that, it's obviously huge benefits to get in there as you're progressing to learn to walk off crutches, distribute your weight evenly, as well as starting to jog again. So why we need this in Dauphin County? Underwater treadmills are not accessible unless you have a physical therapy prescription, and your insurance has to say, yes, we will give you more sessions so that you can use those. And that is very rare. This will accurately stimulate land-based walking, jogging, and sprinting. And as I said, it goes from a 0 to 10 miles an hour, which is a huge benefit. This will increase your fitness level, strength and flexibility, 40% more resistant jet power. So there is jet power too. So as you get back into shape and you're trying to get ready to get on the field, we can actually put jets on the athletes to make it even more difficult. There's also deep tissue massage capabilities to help in other circumstances with your recovery. The warm water therapy obviously enhances the rehab performance through the water buoyancy. When the water is up to chest height, it takes away 80% of your body weight. That's an incredible thing to be able to go in and walk when you cannot put all of your weight bearing on your injury. And you can go in there and feel human again, walking normal without any pain. And then you would decrease the water so that the resistance gets, and the weight gets heavier. This will be, like I said, be able to utilize with youth and adults of all ages. Thank you, Derry Township. With your co-sponsorship, the residents will have access to a very effective machine. Mary's Training Center is leading the charge with training youth in a safe, effective, and rewarding environment. Receiving this local grant will enable us to help Derry Township residents in a more successful recovery and a workout experience. Thank you all for your time.
Does that conclude the America's I can move for myself? Is that it?
Yes, that's our last presentation for the year.
All right, well, listen then. So thank you to everybody that came in and presented tonight. We appreciate it. All very good presentations. Again, the materials you submitted to us were all very helpful. But it still was nice to have the opportunity to ask questions. And there's all good projects. So we will have some time now to figure out ranking and all of that. You know, in the perfect world, everybody gets everything they want. We'd love to see that happen. So. But the county requires us to rank them, so we got to all of us have to give thought to that. And, it does appear that the first meeting in August, we may have trouble with a quorum of that meeting, unavoidably, so we may have to cancel that August meeting, which would, I think, then mean that if that happens, the next time we would be August 23rd. Yes. So that would still be in time for everybody. Nobody would be disadvantaged by waiting until the 23rd for that ranking. And then the ranking will be contained in a resolution, and we'll vote on it, and everybody will be all public. But and in the meantime, if we have additional questions, what we'll do is any members of the board that have any additional questions for the applicants, just funnel them through Mr. Chrisman. This way Mr. Chrisman can reach out to individual applicants for any further information that we may request. But this is very helpful tonight. So does anybody on the board have anything to add to what I've said? Okay, well then we invite all of you to stay for the rest of the meeting. But if you wish to leave now, you're more than welcome to. I will leave that completely up to you. But we will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is item B under new business, That's the so this item B is the settlement agreement and the release between the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Department of General Services and the Township regarding reimbursement of fees incurred by the Township by having its professional consultants review zoning amendment petition number 2021-01 for the Pennsylvania State Police. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can make this really simple. So we generally do an agreement with applicants for reimbursement. There was some work that was done out ahead of that. This agreement is an acknowledgement by them that the work was done and that they're going to pay for it. So I'm suggesting it be signed. If Pat wants to add anything to that.
Oh, that's pretty accurate.
Okay.
All right, any questions for Mr. Emmerich or for Pat on this item? And if not, we can entertain a motion.
I will make a motion that the board authorizes Chris Christman to execute the settlement agreement and release between the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Department of General Services, and the Township.
All right, very good. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is C. It's the acceptance of unilateral declaration of covenants, easements, conditions, and restrictions to invalidate a plan of record and release associated financial security for the final land development plan for 636 Fishburne Road, Plat 1018. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The board will remember that they authorized Pat Armstrong to prepare this agreement. Fortunate that Lindlow is here with us this evening. But this was a plan that preceded the present design for Governor Crossing. It was a plan that was brought forward by the Nardos and ended up being approved, recorded. They posted security. That security transferred to CNS Craig Real Estate. That obligation extended to Lowell when he purchased the property. Nobody's going to build per this plan. Everybody's willing to give up their rights to build to this plan. So I am recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the unilateral declaration and restriction extinguishing Plat 1018 and authorizing the release of $60,296.77, which is in the form of a Northwest Savings irrevocable letter of credit. Contingent upon Lindlow, Governor Crossing LLC signing and recording unilateral declaration of covenants and easements, conditions and restrictions in the Gulf County Recorder of Deeds Office, providing a proof of recording and reimbursing the township for all costs incurred in preparing this document.
All right. Questions on this item for Mr. Emmerich?
Mr. Emmerich, does this basically mean once we take care of this, that the slate is wiped clean, basically, for that property?
Yes.
Okay, starting fresh, all over again.
Yes, there's no entitlement to build or to relocate Fishburne for that prior plan.
Okay.
This will take care of, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
All of her motion, it's long, that the Board of Supervisors hereby accepts the attached unilateral declaration of covenants, easements, conditions, and restrictions extinguishing Plat 1018 and authorizes the release of the financial security in the amount of $60,296.77, which was provided in the form of Northwest Savings Bank irrevocable letter of credit number 26550060, contingent upon Lindlow Governor Crossing LLC signing and recording the unilateral declaration of covenants, easements, conditions, and restrictions in the Dauphin County Recorder of Deeds Office and providing proof of recording and reimbursing Derry Township for all costs incurred as a result of Grimm v. Thatcher preparing unilateral declaration of covenants, easements, conditions, and restrictions.
All right. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is item D. It's the proposed stormwater drainage easement for stormwater management basin B in Deer Run Commons. Mr. Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item, too, has been before the board previously in a draft form for authorization to move forward with the project. Deer Run Commons had created a stormwater basin when the development was created. Part of that stormwater basin was a plunge pool. They're finding that plunge pool was holding water and would like to get rid of it. In doing so, they've contracted to provide a swale over to township property, but not disturbing township property, and eliminate the plunge pool. So the documents that are before you this evening are in draft form yet because they've been put out to the Deer Run Homeowners Association, but we've not quite heard back. I didn't want to hold it off the agenda again, knowing that we're close to where we need to be. So Pat did prepare the easement agreement and also an additional operation and maintenance agreement because at the time Deer Run was done, this wasn't addressed for this part of Deer Run. So Pat created a second document that allows us to access their property if need be for any repairs or maintenance for the facility leading to our property. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, the first one, the easement agreement, is just allowing them to discharge or at least direct the stormwater onto township property. The second one, after talking to Chuck and looking at the prior plan, in case there wasn't a stormwater O&M or at least a stormwater O&M that allowed us to access their property, so given the fact that you're allowing them to direct this stormwater on the township property, it made sense for them to sign and agree to allow us to monitor their property to inspect their facilities to make sure that they're operating properly.
So what we're looking for this evening is the board authorized Chris Christman to sign the documents once finally reviewed by the applicant's attorney and once meeting Pat's approval, so that it doesn't have to come back before the board again.
Any questions for Chuck or Pat on this? Can we remember, and we do remember having covered this at a prior meeting, so is there a motion?
Y'all make the motion. I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorizes Mr. Christman to sign the easement agreement for stormwater drainage for the stormwater easement from Deer Run Commons lands of Derry Township, as well as a stormwater operation maintenance agreement and access easement once finally approved by Mr. Pat Armstrong.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Zanuda. Is there a second to his motion?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any further questions or any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. The next item is item E. It's the request for authorization to advertise for the sale of surplus township property. In accordance with the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code, Section 1504 of Derry Township Resolution 2020-19. Lieutenant Roche.
Members of the board, we were notified by our information technology department 2 weeks ago that we have 12 surplus mobile video terminals. These are the devices that are used to audio and video record the actions of a patrol officer operating out of a patrol vehicle. We have, through attrition, removed these 12 devices from our vehicles and replaced them with modern technology. The devices that are in question here today are outdated. The company itself actually dissolved. Their name was bought out by another company. We have no support from that company. And based upon that, there's no other usefulness of these devices anywhere else in the township. Therefore, I'm asking authority to publicly advertise for a bid to auction these items.
Questions for Lieutenant Roach? If none, we can accept it. So we'll make a motion authorizing you to advertise. Okay, is there a motion then?
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the administration to advertise for the sale and disposition of surplus township property as discussed this evening.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion?
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Lieutenant. The next item then is the acceptance, it's item F on the agenda, the acceptance of bids and the award of sale of township surplus items and equipment. Back to Lieutenant Roach.
Back in the July board meeting, the members of the board have authorized me to, the police department, to advertise the sale of surplus police vehicles to include the ancillary equipment, lights, sirens, cargo storage units in the back of those vehicles. Based upon your authorization, I used the Municibid website to publicly advertise these items. I posted four vehicles for sale of the five that were authorized, as well as the equipment to include a cargo storage box and equipment to include lights, sirens, sound control boxes, things like customarily are equipped on the police car. Those bids were announced on July 1st. The bids closed on July 14th after a two-week public advertising. And if you would like, I could read the names, if you prefer the names of the persons that were the highest bidder. Feel that's appropriate?
I don't think it's necessary if you, if you don't think it's,
Because they are contained in the department memorandum attached to your packet.
Right.
So based upon our advertisement, we have highest bidders for each of the four vehicles and the two parcels of equipment, and the total amount, should we execute the sale, would be $13,900 for all that equipment. I'm requesting your authority to proceed with the sale of the highest bidders.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Any questions for the Lieutenant? If not, can we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve and authorize the disposition of surplus equipment to the highest bidders as noted in the Police Department Memorandum dated July 21st, 2022.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Whitehoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any discussion or questions? All right. Yeah. All those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Lieutenant. The next item on the agenda is G. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 8 Edge Hill Drive, S-2022-016. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The stormwater management facility is for a new garage and driveway at 8 Edge Hill Drive. The applicant and property owner are Diane Thacker and Jill Eckert. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $14,430 is to be provided, which the applicants have done, and have entered into our standard agreement to provide security to secure the installation of stormwater management facilities. I'm recommending that the board accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $14,430 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Thaddeus J. Stagger and Joe M. Eckert for the stormwater management plan for 8 Edge Hill Drive, S-2022-016.
Very good. Questions for Mr. Eckert on this item? If not, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts the financial security in the amount of $14,430 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Thaddeus Singer and Jill for the stormwater management plan for 8 Edge Hill Drive, S-2022-016.
Thank you. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any further questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. 4-0. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. That concludes the items under new business. The next item on the agenda is Supervisor Board or Committee Reports. Start with Mr. Zamuda, and we'll work to our right. So, Mr. Zamuda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a busy last week and beginning of this week. Wednesday of last week, I attended the People Movers luncheon with Mr. Priest. It was very interesting. It's a good group of people, a lot of volunteers, drivers, assistant drivers, and staff. As a note, they'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary in 2024. Mr. Priest feels that it's important enough that we all do something special for it. So, and I tend to agree with that. On the following day, I think that's Thursday, we met for to establish our capital improvement plan. The Transportation Committee, as a result of the original Greater Hershey Transportation Study, we're still working our way through the construction of that group. Let's see. This morning, we met with the Transportation Committee, and it was generally normal business, regular business, but Linlow Associates attended the meeting and discussed a new submission for the ride-in, ride-out portion of the construction that they're going to do, and it looks like they're going to resurrect the Hope Drive extension. That still has to be approved by everybody. It's still in discussion. I forgot to mention that we also had a DCDB yesterday evening, which lasted, was the longest DCDB I think I've ever attended or worked through. In it, we discussed a number of signs, a couple of different signs in the township. The most important thing, and it drew a lot of public communication, was the approval of demolition of a building downtown for a Tika Shack. The DCDB declined that demolition, and it will be passed on to the full board here for a final disposition. And I guess that might be, since it won't be the next meeting, it will be the next meeting. Or we have to get an extension for that, right?
I was going to save that for my staff report. Not having a quorum on the 9th will put us into a slight conundrum with timing for a hearing that I'm sure the applicant will grant us an extension, because in addition to their project, they need easements from the township on the adjacent property.
So, and that concludes my busy week.
Thank you for that update.
Sure.
Mr. Corrado, any board or committee reports?
No, we have no meetings.
Mrs. Nutt?
No reports.
Mr. White?
I have no report. Thank you.
What you guys do that? Hard to believe, but it feels like that. I also don't have a report. In fact, I missed my library endowment meeting this past Monday, so.
But
it's been crazy busy. Anyway, that'll take us then to departmental reports. The first report from Chief Warner, Police Department.
Mr. Chairman, I have no additional for tonight.
Hershey Volunteer Fire Department, Mr. Sassaman.
Just a couple items for you. So June was a busy month for the fire department at 92 calls. Reference that back to May, we had 59 calls, so busy month for us. Also, last evening, we got to introduce the crew to new Paratec rescue airbags. They replaced airbags that are probably 20, 25 years old. So that's a good improvement for our division to do vehicle rescues and be able to lift pieces off of people if we would have to. And I appreciate all your support from the township.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate all your efforts, all the members' efforts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Clark, Public Works.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Stroffman, Library.
I wanted to make the board aware that we were planning on closing on August 29th and August 30th in order to allow for carpeting replacement under the adult fiction shelves. We have someone coming in who's basically going to roll the shelves away, so we don't want anyone who might get crushed by that happening in the library at the time. But we do plan to have curbside pickup available from 10 to 5 both days. One of the pluses of COVID is we're very, very ready to be flexible in how we offer our services. So that's one of the things we'll be doing. I'd also like to remind everyone that our book sale starts on Friday, August 5th, and goes until Tuesday, August 9th. And on Tuesday, August 9th, we're actually going to be hosting the 1955 Chevrolet Bookmobile from the Antique Automobile Club of America Library and Museum from 10 to 2. It's very cool, so if you have a chance, stop by.
Yeah, that's great. Now, so we just make sure that the closure at the end of the month, that we start sort of messaging that soon. Because the more early, the earlier we message it, the better prepared people are when it's closed.
I plan to start advertising it tomorrow, and Becky's already very kindly helped me develop some messaging to be ready.
That's pretty soon. Thank you very much. Zach, Parks and Rec.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to report we have our final drive-in movie of the summer at Shank Park coming up on Friday, August 5th. So we'll be showing the movie Clifford the Big Red Dog. As always, those movies are absolutely free, and they begin at dusk, which is right around 8:45. Also, as our high school and college-age lifeguards head back to school this fall, we are in desperate need of adult lifeguards for our indoor pool. So as you may have heard, there is a nationwide shortage of lifeguards, which has affected us as well. So we are offering free American Red Cross lifeguard training. So anyone who knows any adults ages 18 and over that are interested in daytime hours, if they have the interest and the swimming ability, we can provide the rest of the training. So all of our part-time positions, including that, can be found on Indeed or the Township website.
No.
You always think he's already great.
We want to see him this year.
I'm not going to be a lifeguard, but there's no cutoff in terms of the top age, right? So it's going to be 18 and over, but somebody over retirement age, whatever, could
correct,
be
absolutely
role, correct.
Correct. Right. Okay. Yeah, the challenges for us now is we have a lot of guards in the 15, 16 age group, and with child labor laws, they can't work when we open. They can't work when we close. So, and then obviously there are schools there.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the report. Township Engineer, Matt Bonanno.
Yeah, I think tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Mr. Emmerich?
Nothing more this evening. Thank you.
And Mr. Christman?
Just a reminder, as we stated earlier this evening, the August 9th meeting, at this point, it looks like we will have a lack of a quorum, so I'm recommending that we continue to cancel that meeting. And all of our business, our regular business that would have occurred on August 9th, will be moved to August 23rd. That's all I have.
You know, I think, and again, the sooner we sort of put that out there, I think the better. It's regrettable, but happens very rarely that we don't have enough members, but between people's work schedules and vacation schedules and children who are off to college, we hit the perfect storm here at that meeting, so we appreciate you taking care of that, Mr. Christman. That concludes departmental reports. We'll open up the floor again for visitor public comments, so anybody wishing to come forward, it's time to do it. Same rules as the first session, first name, last name, address, and I try to ask you to kind of leave your comments in 3 minutes or less.
Mark Ofsak, OVSAK. 147 West Garfield Road, Hershey, PA, 17033. I just have a couple of comments. The first is with the Milo presentation, and it basically goes along with what you presented in Cocoa Packs about countywide. It would be possible for the county to obtain a system similar to what we're talking about and have it as a mobile system that countywide it could be used. I'm not sure how feasible that would be, but it would benefit the most agencies. And certainly, if it was countywide, it could cost more than $70,000. The second thing is to support the fire department. If anybody's aware, there was just a grass fire that wind spread near Dallas just a few days ago, and it spread quickly to a number of homes. Now, if anybody's paid attention around Hershey, we have a lot of oak trees that are dying and a lot of pine trees that are dying. And it's
been about 30 years since we had a severe drought where we were under mandatory water restrictions. And unfortunately, it appears that sooner or later we're going to be back in that situation. So I think we would be well advised to be prepared for the worst. The third thing has to do with the library. I was just there last week, and as everybody knows, temperature's been a little steamy. And I know that it felt a little warm in the library to me, and since the library is approximately 25 years old, it might be time to start looking at upgrading some of the HVAC systems and possibly obtaining some energy efficiency with some new systems. I'm not aware of when anything's been done there, but it just seemed a little uncomfortable to me. But I did ride the bike down there. Dart across Cocoa Avenue. Dangerous. That's about all I have to do.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? All right. Seeing as no one is coming forward, we will conclude the second visitor public comment session and move to the last item on the agenda, which is adjournment. We can accept a motion.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made for adjournment by Mr. Zavuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.